to Job chapter 39. Let's remember all of our preachers preaching out of the church this morning. Brother Jason is preaching at Clark's Creek, and Brother Bill is preaching over at Friendship for Brother Jeff. So we miss them, but Brother Bradley's with us this morning, and Sister Amber. So we've continually got people coming and going and ministering here, and so that's a good thing. That's a blessing. So let's remember them while they're away, and remember Brother Jeff as well, as he pastors over at Friendship. I seen him last night at the youth meeting, and he said things were going good, and they were getting along good. So let's not forget Brother Jeff and Sister Michelle, just because they're not here in the services. They're out of the church and part of the ministry here, and they need our prayers. So let's remember them. Job chapter 39, let's read verses 27 through 30, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I know I can preach short, I don't always, but all the time on the radio, you've got just a certain time, and you got to get it in. So just pray the Lord would help me this morning, and that the Lord would speak to our hearts. Job chapter 39, verse 27, the Bible says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given to us. And God, I just pray that you just help us today with all that there is to do. Lord, we pray to be used in thy service. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts just now and give us something from the Word of God that'll help us, that'll change us, that'll help us in the week coming, that, Lord, we'd be what you'd have us to be. Lord, we're a needy people. And Lord, we come today praying for thy help. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for those in the church. Lord, we have many that are not here today, traveling and away and sickness. And Lord, Brother Norman and Sister Judy, God, we especially pray for her and her family today. God, that you'd hold them up, that you'd lift them up. Lord, that you'd help them as only you can and give grace. And touch Sister Judy, Lord. We pray for that she'd be able to go and be at the funeral for her mother. God, I pray you'd just comfort her in a very real way. And Lord, we come praying for our nation and our troops and God, all that's going on in the world, Lord, you know. And Lord, it's just something all the time. Lord, we pray for your help. We pray, Lord, for souls to be saved in these last days. And God, just help us now. We pray and ask for it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, you pray for us this morning. We do have several that are missing, but still a good number out today. And many of it just couldn't be helped. Some are traveling, been to visit family and things of that nature. So we want to remember them as they travel back. But so far, and if you've not been here, I've been preaching a series of messages on the eagle. And the Lord has just helped me, and I've learned, and it's been a help to my life personally. And I hope others can say that as well. I have preached this series before several years ago, 7 years ago. And so we've been preaching on the subject of the eagle. And this is the fourth message along those lines. And so far, we've noticed several different things about the eagle's life. I'm not going to go back through all those things. I'll just say last week, we looked at the eagle's secret. And the eagle's secret is a process called preening. And preening is what takes place every day of the eagle's life. Verse 28 says, "She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock in the strong place." And as she dwells there, first thing in the morning, every day she preens. She takes care of herself. She passes her feathers through her beak. And in doing that, there's a oil that comes out. She blows steam. She anoints and cleanses herself. before she goes out to do what it says in verse number 29. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Now the eagle's secret, the preening, is applied to the Christian's devotional life. And I've talked about already how important our devotional life is, spending time with God, spending secret time with God, abiding with the Lord, getting alone, letting the Lord speak to us first thing in the morning. And today's message is along those same lines. It has to do with the diet of the eagle, what the eagle eats. And that's the 5, 6, 7th thing we're going to look at about the eagle. That is her sustenance. That's what she eats. And we find that in verse number 29. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. There's two key words in those verses that give us a little bit of insight into what the eagle eats. First of all, there's the word in verse number 29, from thence she seeketh the prey. That word prey there, not pray like we're talking about praying to God, but pray, P-R-E-Y, which is talking about the eagle, is a hunter. The eagle seeks out her prey, and the eagle is a bird that hunts. And also the word in verse number 30, her young ones also suck up blood. And if you take the word prey and the word blood, that translates into fresh meat. Prey is used in relation to animals that are hunters. We do not ever use the word prey in relationship to, say, a cow. You know, you don't say the cow seeks its prey. No, it doesn't do that. It just walks around and eats grass. It doesn't have to hunt for anything except grass or hay or something like that. But you use the word prey for animals that are hunters, like a lion or a hawk or a eagle or a animal of that nature. A wolf seeks its prey. And the Bible says in Job chapter 4 and verse 10, the old lion perisheth for lack of prey. The lion gets so old that it cannot hunt any longer and kill and things of that nature. And the eagle is a hunter. When we talk about the nature of the eagle this morning, the other birds are satisfied with berries and worms and insects and things like that, but the eagle's not like that. The eagle is not a scavenger. The eagle doesn't eat what it just doesn't rely on what it can find out here. You know, that's how a vulture is. I was reading and studying about the difference between the two. Although they're in the same family species, a vulture is a bald-headed bird. You know, they talk about a bald-headed eagle, but really the bald eagle is not bald. It just has white feathers. But a vulture is a bald-headed bird, and that's when it finds a big old fat. I'll not make you sick this morning, but you know, that's so it can stick its head in a dead carcass and it doesn't get all that mess on its heads, you know. And they're nasty birds. But an eagle's not like that. An eagle's a hunter. And it goes out and it's just not satisfied on what it finds, but it finds what it wants. That'll help you this morning if you'll really get a hold of that. The eagle finds what it wants. It has a very varied diet as it goes about from day to day. It might have fish one day and a squirrel another day and a pheasant another day and a rabbit or another small animal another day. And all of those are fresh meat. After the eagle preens, it seeks its prey. In verse number 29, from thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. She finds what she wants to eat. She swoops down on it and clutches it in her claws. And from what I've studied about it, the eagle's talons, the ones in the back, are longer, and it will pierce the animal through and kill it right there on the spot, whether it's a rabbit or a fish or whatever. And then it'll eat that fresh meat that it's found, and after preening, that's what the animal does. Now, spiritually speaking, this morning, we could say this: you are what you eat. You are what you eat, physically or spiritually. Back when I was a younger man, I lived on junk food. I didn't eat healthy at all. I mean, I was busy and working and going and all these things, and I just lived off of Mountain Dew and Snicker bars and hamburgers and all that stuff, and it caught up with me after a while. Junk food, that's what I lived on, and I thought I was healthy at the time, but when I got sick, I found out I wasn't healthy. I got pneumonia one time, and I've told y'all about that. But from that point on, I tried to learn how to eat better, and I quit drinking soft drinks and eating junk food all the time, and hamburgers and hot dogs and all of that stuff. That stuff will kill you. But you know what? If you're used to a diet of junk food, healthy food is not appealing to you. Because you know what? You get used to soft drinks and the carbonation, and you get used to salt and French fries and ketchup and all that stuff. And man, you think that's the best stuff it ever was. That's some good food. And then you go from a diet of that to drinking water and eating salad. And you know, I used to throw off on people that ate salad. I said, that's rabbit food. Well, actually, that's pretty good for you. That's better than something that's been in the freezer for about 6 months and drug out and deep fried and salted again. And you know, but it was hard for me. It was hard for me to go from a diet of junk food to a diet of good, healthy food. And it's hard, but you know what? A lot of Christians are weak. They're weak spiritually because they live on a diet of junk food. If they do have anything spiritual about them, it's not got very much meat to it. And therefore, as Christians, we are weak and ineffectual and do not have the power of God upon our lives many times. And it's because our spiritual diet is pathetic and we really can't stand very much real spiritual meat in our lives. This is why a whole lot of Christians just can't stand the preaching of the Word of God. They're scared of it. They'll run from it. If there's conviction in it and truth in it, they can't stand it. They're not used to that. But they can handle a little bit of fellowship, a little bit of so-called Christian music that really sounds like any music out here in the world. You know, they can handle some things like that, but a strong Christian person needs a steady diet of something that is alive and powerful. Brother Lester Roloff used to say, when you leave the first two aisles of the grocery store, you have left the living part of the store. Because he would preach and teach that you, in order to be healthy, you needed to eat live food. Food that's been alive, salads and vegetables and fresh meat. But he said, when you go over there to that processed part, now that'll kill you. And a Christian spiritually needs something that is alive and powerful. The Word of God is what we need. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was reading over there again this morning and reading over in chapter number 5. It says in verse number 12, it says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong unto them that are full age, even those those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what he's talking about there is, he's saying, you Hebrew Christians, you ought to be stronger than you are, but you're just on milk. But he's saying, you've been saved long enough, you ought to be on the strong meat of the Word of God. We read in our Sunday school lesson this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you're going to be a strong Christian, you need a steady diet of the word of God in your life. You can't make it otherwise. You won't make it. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but I'm saying this morning you'll never be spiritual. You'll never be a spiritual Christian apart from the word of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15 and 16, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and that thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." You need a steady diet of the word of God in your life. Strength as a Christian comes from the Word of God. If you don't learn to get in the Word of God and get your soul fed and get you some meat for the day, you'll never be strong. You'll never be a spiritual Christian. And I'm emphasizing that this morning. I want to be a spiritual Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. But I lived a lot of years as a saved person, but I was not spiritual. Somebody come to me and said, "Will you pray for this or will you pray for that?" I could have said some words, but I don't know that it had got very far. Because I didn't live a kind of life that was pleasing unto the Lord. I was very carnal in the way that I lived my life. If somebody had come to me and said, "What does the Bible say about this?" I could have said, "Well, the preacher says this, but as far as finding anything or really knowing very much truth out of the Word of God, I was on the milk." But I want to be on the meat. If you're going to be a strong Christian, you have to have a diet of God's Word. The subject of Proverbs chapter number 4 is, God is saying there, "My words, my words." And verse number 22 says, talking about the words of God, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Life and health. That's what you need. You know, the Word of God is health food for the Christian. Say, "Preacher, I don't like that health food." Well, you eat what you want to and put it in your body, and you'll work it out sooner or later if it don't kill you first. I mean, after a while you realize, hey, there's some things that don't help me. But as a child of God, if you're going to be a strong Christian, there's no other way around it. You can't be a strong Christian on spiritual junk food. You need the Word of God. That's where life and health is. The Word of God's health food for the Christian. You need to be on a diet of health food as a child of God. And it's going to take you getting in the Word of God and learning it and learning to fall in love with it. And I know when you first start reading the Word of God and trying to get into it, it's hard to understand all that stuff. I tell people, I say, start somewhere easy. People jump in, they get saved, and they want to jump right into the book of Revelation. Very, very few times do people realize they 65 books comes before that. Need to know a little bit about what comes before. I tell people, I say, start in the book of John. Read the book of John. It's real easy. Start in the book of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It summarizes all the others. There's only 16 chapters. Start somewhere easy. Read in the book of Proverbs. It's real easy to understand. And just start and stay with it, and you'll learn to, you'll get to where you do understand it. And it's not boring, and you understand what's going on. You see what I'm saying this morning? I'll say this before I move on. The eagle would preen for an hour. You say, "Preacher, I want to grow. I want to get stronger." As I said last week, I'm not going to go over it again, but get out of the bed and get in the Word of God and have a goal to spend a certain amount of time with the Lord. And it'll help you. And get in God's Word. We see her sustenance is live food. The prey and the young ones also suck up blood. But I want to show you something else this morning. There is her sickness in verse number 30. It says this, "Her young ones also suck up blood." And notice what it says, "And where the slain are, there is she." Now that has a prophetic tie that I'm not going to get into this morning, but in Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter number 19, you remember over there where God calls the birds of the air to come and feast on the flesh of God's enemies. There's a prophetic tying right there, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. But in verse number 30, it makes a reference to the eagle eating that which has been slain. And we know that today, that is called a carrion. That's a nice word for what we refer to as roadkill. That's where you see the crows all the time. And one day there's a possum there and you go back and it's not there. Something got rid of that. Them crows and hawks. Now the eagle normally is not a bird that eats something that has died of its own self. But they do sometimes eat carrion. They do sometimes find an animal and eat of that animal. Now, if you're eating something that you've killed yourself, you know that it wasn't sick because you've been watching it. But if you just find something like the eagle, find something, and sometimes eagles migrate, and especially the bald eagle will be more inclined than the eagle in the Bible to eat what we know as carrion, because they migrate, they stay in Alaska and Canada and places sometimes during the winter. Food gets pretty scarce and they will eat what they find. But normally they'll go out and they'll hunt and they'll eat fresh meat, but sometimes they will eat what they find. And most of the time when an eagle does get sick, now an eagle is not a sickly creature. It has fresh air, fresh food, and it generally lives a long time and is a very healthy creature. But when it does get sick, from what I've read and studied about it, usually when it does get sick, it is because of something that it has eaten. Now, eagles and animals, by and large, are smarter than you and I. Do you know when an animal gets sick, they'll stop eating. And they won't eat anything else until they get better. That's how, and a lot of you know how that is. You know, you may have a dog. And the dog, if the dog's sick, it'll stop eating and it will not resume eating until it gets better. And animals have a lot better sense than we do sometimes. But they immediately get to fast. And they want to get rid of what has made them sick before they start eating again. And an eagle's like that as well. If an eagle eats something that makes it sick, it will stop eating. It will go to its rock where it lives. It won't be hanging out in a tree somewhere or on a mountain. It'll go home. It'll get back to the rock. You remember what the rock of? A rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll get on its rock. It'll go home to the rock. And it will prostrate itself in the sun. What I mean by that, the eagle will get on its rock somewhere where it can spread its wings out and lay its body down on that rock. And it'll look up into the sun. And it'll lay there until it gets to feeling better. You know, I told you how the eagle could look up into the sun. You actually get vitamin D from the sun, and a little bit of sun is good for you. It's not bad for you because we get vitamin D through the sun. It's healthy. Fresh air, fresh food, sunshine, all of these things. And the eagle will go and it will do that. Do you realize that as a Christian today, when you get sick, when you get backslid, when you get in sin, when you get away from the Lord, do you know that most of the time it's a result of something you've been eating? It's made you sick. It's somebody you've been it's some false something that you've been listening to. It's because you've been eating junk food and not health food, spiritually speaking. You know that's right. A lot of you, like me, you grew up and we had gospel music and all those things, but we had we we, I say I, not meaning to throw off on Dad this morning, but they listen to a lot of country music and things of that nature. And you know, here I am years later, and a lot of the ones that they used to listen to, why, they're not singing anymore, but I can hear some of that stuff, and still I know the words to it, I know the message behind it, and you know what, a lot of the times it's a bunch of junk. You feed on that all the time, it'll make you sick spiritually. What the world has to offer, and you can call it country, rock, pop, all of that bunch of stuff, what you look at on a computer, or what you watch on TV, or what you listen to on the radio, or whatever it is you listen music to nowadays. I mean, what goes in, if you're not careful, it'll make you sick. Get you away from God. Because everything out here in the world has a message. We need to be oh so careful. What goes into our eyes, what goes into our ears, what we're hearing, what we're listening to, because it does have an effect upon us. It has an effect upon our attitude and the way we live our lives. And if we get away from the good, spiritual, healthy in our lives, it'll make us sick, spiritually speaking. We need to get to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble ourselves before Him, repent of our sins. The Bible says this, we need to get in the presence of the Son when we get sick. 1 John says, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. When we're spiritually sick and away from the Lord, somebody told me one time, they said, preacher, I don't feel like praying. That's when you need to pray. You get out here and get away from the Lord. First thing the devil tells you is not to come to church. That's exactly where you need to be, is in church. He'll tell you, you won't feel like praying. I've been there, I've done that. I know what I'm talking about this morning. That's the devil. And if you don't get things right in your life, you just get farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. There's three times in the eagle's life when it goes to the rock. One is when it is sick. When it's sick, it'll go to the rock, it'll get in the sun, and it'll stay there until it gets better. Boy, that'd help you this morning. If you just learn to go to the Lord Jesus and let Him apply the balm of Gilead upon your heart and in your soul, and you'd stay there until you got better. Spiritually speaking, it'll go to the rock when it's sick. It'll go to the rock when it's molting. And I've not preached on this yet, and I'll say a little bit more about it later on. But when the eagle is molting, and you've all probably, if you grew up on a farm or around chickens, you've seen them molt. And they'll shed their old, and they'll grow new feathers. But it's a very hard process for the eagle to go through, and it's shedding the old for the new. And then when the eagle is getting ready to die, if it can get there, it will go to the rock and it will die upon the rock. And so when we get sick, we need to go to the rock. That's the Lord Jesus. When we are molting, we need to go to the rock. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad in my life that God is continually working on me to get rid of the old part of me and make me a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's continually working on us. And sometimes when the Lord's working on us, we look like a mess. You ever seen a chicken molting? You'd think that it was sick and need to be put out of its misery. But actually, it's getting better. Sometimes when you look a mess and you feel a mess and you're going through it, you don't think you need to be around anybody. You know what? God is putting you through the process. And if you'll get to the rock and stay there, what you'll find out is when you're going through things, sometimes you're actually getting better. Better than you was. Better than you was, because He's taken away the old, and it hurts when that happens, but it's good when it happens, when God takes away the old and He makes us new, when God takes away the secret sin and the bad habit and the old crutch and just the ways of the old man, and God gives us something new and makes a new creature out of us. Then the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. That's what Paul said. The only way you're going to die every day is to get to the rock and let the Lord Jesus do a work in your heart and in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, Paul said, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And boy, if we'll get our eyes fixed upon Him, we'll find out that He's changing us, and we ought to be becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Every day as we come to the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I close this morning. I want to close and just ask you this today as we end the message. Are you sick in your Christian life? Boy, I've been there. It's rough. It's rough to go through and, like I said a minute ago, you don't feel like coming to church. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading your Bible. Are you sick this morning? Or have you been poisoned by something that's out here that you've eaten? Say, preacher, what do? Go to the rock. Get in the sun. Stay there until you get better, until you get back on your feet and your spiritual bearings. A sick eagle cannot do some things. A sick eagle cannot reproduce. You know, God has called us to go and to be fishers of men. He's called us to go and be fruitful. But if you're sick, if you're away from the Lord, if you're backslid, if you've got sin in your life, you can't do that. Is the devil ever coming along and say, you can't witness to them because you're a hypocrite? And if you tell them about the Lord, the first thing they're going to do is turn around to you and say, well, what about you doing this? If we're sick, we cannot reproduce. We cannot win anybody else to the Lord. A sick eagle cannot discern the truth. A sick eagle can get so out of its mind that it can't even find its rock. And it'll get to where it's down in the wilderness walking around like a chicken. You know, you've all heard that saying, it's hard to soar with eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys. Maybe you're surrounded by turkeys because you're sick. You're spiritually sick. And you can't even see that you need to get up and away and out from what you're around. A sick eagle can get so out of its mind it can't find home. It'll die out there if it don't get home, but it gets to where it can't even see what's real and where it used to live and where it used to fly and all of those things. A sick eagle cannot fight its enemies when they come. A sick eagle's going to die. I've said this many, many times. All prodigals don't come home. In fact, that'd be a good message to preach on Absalom. He died as a fool dies. Hanging it. You know, I preached on that last Sunday night, but I'll tell you, there's no sense in that. There's no sense in that because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter number 8. You don't have to go through life defeated and victoryless, if that's even a word. Because He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.